Well, last week we looked at the idea of the offer, this idea that we all have an offer on our life. And we have an offer. Everyone who has come before us and everyone who will come after us has an offer, the offer on their life. And the offer, thankfully, is success. The offer is success. We can have success in this world, but the offer comes in the form of we can have success God's way, or we can have success the world's way. That's the offer. That's the offer that we're given. That's a choice that we have. One way, the world's way, ultimately will lead to destruction. There's no doubt about it. You can choose the world's way, and you will have success. I'm not disputing that, but it will end in destruction. Or you can choose God's way, and God also has success for us. But His way leads to blessing and eternal life. So I urge you, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, to choose God's way. Choose His way, not the world's way that it offers you. The world's way is a counter offer to what God has for you. And we looked at last week that God honors our decisions. He will allow us to make our decisions, and He will honor the decision that you and I make, but He blesses our obedience. So if we want His blessing, it comes through obedience. This week, we're looking at the idea of prayer. This idea of prayer. And there's a question mark there. We're going to be in 2 Kings this morning, if you have your Bibles or your phones, and you want to turn there, 2 Kings. So prayer with a question mark, because the question is, what are we praying? The question is, are we praying? That's a big question that we each need to answer. I know that this area is hard for a lot of us. Even for me, you know, this is hard in my life. We're busy. Everyone has a busy life. There's kids, there's work, there's leisure activities, there's hobbies, there's things that vie for our attention in every area and avenue of life. There's a lot going on. And do we have time to pray? Because we're so busy, because there's so much going on, do we have time to pray? And even if we did have time to pray, what's our view on prayer? Do we look at prayer as important? Is prayer important? Does it even make a difference? Whether we pray or not, does it change anything? When we pray, do we expect that something will happen? Do we think that something will change? I would say that prayer is one of, if not the most important aspect of our Christian life. Yes, reading the Bible is important. Yes, there's all of these different things that matter and we should be doing, but prayer is communication with God, the God of the universe. That's what prayer is. Prayer is hearing from God. It's a relationship with the Creator, the great I Am. That's what prayer is. Prayer is how we walk into all the things that God is able to do in our life. We talked about these last couple weeks. God is able, Scripture tells us, to do abundantly more, above and beyond what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. That's something we should ponder. That's something when you're at home, you should think about. Close your eyes. Think, imagine, ask what would be the most beyond thing you can think of, and then know that God can do more. God can do beyond that. Prayer is how we communicate with Him. Prayer is important. I would say that you are here today because somebody prayed. Think about that. You're here today because somebody prayed. Maybe grandma, maybe grandpa, maybe mom, dad, aunt, uncle, friend, cousin. Somebody prayed, and you're here this morning. Prayer matters. Jesus is our example in all things, and He made prayer a priority, a major priority in His life. He would actually have people that needed healing and all of the things that He was here to do, and He would leave them to pray. He would leave His disciples who needed Him and would have to look for Him because He would be off praying. And so our life should be no different as we live it to become like Him. That's the Christian life, is we live it to become like Him. And prayer was important to Him. So this morning we're reading from 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return to tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We declare that it is truth. We declare that we will live by it and allow it to change us and how we live and how we think. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to each one this morning, to every heart this morning, that your words would come through, that you would do here among us, Lord, what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is quite a story. Hezekiah gets some really bad news. For anybody, I would imagine that if you hear that you're not going to live, but you're going to die, that's bad news. But this isn't simply just a doctor telling Hezekiah this bad news. This isn't some health professional. This isn't just somebody who knows something about the scenario. This is worse than that. This is much worse than that, because this is God telling him. I don't know about you, but God telling me that I'm going to die and not live, that's a bad day. That's a bad day. Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. That's a really bad day. So what do we do? What do you do when you receive news like that? Maybe you haven't received news that you're not going to live, you're going to die, but maybe you receive news that the job is over. Maybe you receive news that the bill came due early. Maybe you receive news that the car is totaled. Maybe you receive news that's bad for you. What is the news that you've received, and how and what do you do when you receive this news? What do we do when we receive a bad report? What do we do when something in life goes wrong? When something in life doesn't go how we planned it to go? What do we do? Do we give up and hide in a corner? Some of us might. Do we call everybody that we know and freak out with the bad news? Do we rage and scream at God because he allowed it to happen? And what is he doing? And doesn't he care? What do we do when we receive the bad news? What do we do when life doesn't go how we planned it? Hezekiah didn't do any of those things. We read that Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. That's what Hezekiah did. He said, "Remember." And he wept bitterly. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, "Lord, remember." And he wept bitterly. It's not like he had no emotion. Faith doesn't mean you have no emotion. It's not that it didn't bother him. It's not that he wasn't afraid. It's not that he wasn't upset. It's not that he was just pretending it never happened. Sometimes we like to say that's what faith is. No fear. Nothing ever bothers you. You just act like it never happened. But that's not really what faith is. That's not how Hezekiah reacted. He wept bitterly. But he also prayed. He didn't weep bitterly and give up. He didn't weep bitterly and live with a grudge for the rest of his life. He didn't weep bitterly and be mad at the entire world because something went wrong for him. He wept bitterly, but he also prayed. But the question is, does prayer really matter? Does it make a difference if I pray? Would it have made a difference if Hezekiah just wept bitterly and then was mad at the world? Because he didn't get his way, because he didn't like what happened. Well, we read that before Isaiah got to the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Isaiah hadn't even fully left the place where Hezekiah was. And the word of the Lord came to him. Again, we have, thus says the Lord God. What's God going to say this time? Last time the Lord spoke to Hezekiah, he's going to die and he's not going to live. He's probably a little fearful when Isaiah comes back with another word from the Lord. I would imagine that once you receive a word from the Lord that you're going to die and not live, you're going to be a little weary the next time the prophet comes around. But this time, the prophet's given this to say, tell him that I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. And in response to hearing and seeing, God says, surely I will heal you. Surely I will heal you. God heard the prayer of Hezekiah. God saw the tears of Hezekiah. And God responded with healing. God heard, God saw, and God responded. God changed the outcome because of prayer. Because of Hezekiah's prayer. This should remind us of several things that we read throughout our Bibles, like Abraham praying to save the city from being burned in its entirety, bargaining almost with God if he can find just how many faithful. And he gets it to where God agrees. Elijah praying for it not to rain, and it doesn't rain. Praying for it to rain, and it rains. The showdown with the prophets of Baal where he soaks his wood until it's sopping wet. And then he asks God to move and to change the circumstances. This should remind us of Jesus, the one we're to follow and to become like. Jesus curses the fig tree. And instead of the natural order of its growth, it withers away. All of the multiple healings and deliverances that Jesus does and that we read about. Changing the circumstances through prayer. Changing the circumstances by calling on God to do what he said he would do. Lazarus being dead and coming back to life. That's a big one. And we should look at how does Jesus pray and how could Jesus be so confident that Lazarus would rise? Is it just because he's Jesus and we can never be that confident? Why was he so confident? Well, if you read in the Gospels, this is how Jesus began his prayer before Lazarus rises from the dead. Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know you've heard me, but I say this for their sake. Jesus is confident because God heard his prayer. We see prayer changing the outcome everywhere in the New Testament, through the early church. Paul, Peter, Stephen, the list goes on and on. They turned the world upside down. Jails were shaken, chains were loosed, angels were put on assignment. Healing and miracles and deliverance took place, changing the natural circumstances, changing men who had been crippled for years and years, their entire lives, walking through prayer. You need to know that God wants to change the outcome in the world around us. In the world around you, but you also need to know that he wants to do it through you. Through you. In your life and through your life to the world around you. Through your prayers. And sometimes through your tears. The question, though, is what are we praying? Are we so bitter at what's happened that we can't pray? Is all our faith gone because it didn't work how we liked it to work? So why pray? When we look at everyone around us, is it just hatred because I don't like what happened? Or can we love enough to pray for God to change the outcome? What are we praying? Are we praying? Does prayer matter? There's a few important things that I want to note this morning through this story. And the first one is that there was a natural portion to this healing. It says they were instructed to take a lump of figs, and they laid it on the boil, and he recovered. God can and does use medicine and doctors and natural things to bring about healing. Absolutely. But it's God who brings the healing. God is the source. It's our prayers that move his hand. In the natural, looking at this, it was the laying on of figs that brought the healing. That's what it says. He was healed when they put the figs on. So a lot of times we like to take that and see, the medicine healed me. The natural healed me. But they never would have done that without God. They never would have known to do that without God. That never would have happened if Hezekiah didn't pray. In the natural, it was the laying on of figs, but it was very much God who did it. The second thing that we need to note is that Hezekiah was healed. It's amazing. It's an awesome story. 15 years added to his life when just before, a minute ago, he's going to die and not live. It's awesome, but he still got the bad news. He still heard the word, "Thus says the Lord," from the prophet, "You will die and not live." He still got the news. He still had to process. He still had to choose how he's going to deal with it. Curl up, hide in a corner, fight and pray. He still had to pray. He still wept bitterly and shed the tears. And he had to obey by putting the figs on. He could have said, "You know what? I prayed. I told God to remember. The prophet came back and said I would be healed. 15 years added to my life. I'm not putting no stupid figs on. I don't need this. God's going to do the miracle. I'm spiritual and I have faith." He still had to obey what God's telling him to do. The question is, what are you accepting that you should be rejecting through prayer and obedience? What are you accepting that you should be rejecting through prayer and obedience? The answer to many problems in the world around us and in our lives, the answer is persistent prayer and simple obedience. Persistent prayer and simple obedience. The third thing is that not only did this prayer heal Hezekiah, which it did, but as we read, it also saved his land. It also saved his land. They were being besieged. They were being overtaken. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Hezekiah only asked God to remember him because he was told he was going to die and not live. He was asking for healing. He was asking to live. He was weeping bitterly for his life. And God answered that prayer by saving his life and healing him and God went beyond what Hezekiah was imagining, thinking, and asking. He went beyond because God is able. It sounds a lot like 2 Chronicles, a scripture we like to talk about a lot. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, what will God do? God says, I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. God hears your prayers. God sees your tears. And God moves through prayer. The fourth thing is that Hezekiah, he served God and he lived in obedience to God. That's why he could pray, remember now. That's a tough prayer to pray if we're not serving God and if we're not living in obedience to Him. What are we wanting Him to remember? Is that a prayer that we can be comfortable and confident praying to God? God, remember now. What does He say? Remember now how I walked before You. Remember now how I lived in truth and with a loyal heart. Remember now how I've done what is good in Your sight. That's a pretty awesome prayer to be able to pray. But the question is, how are we walking before God? Would we pray, God, remember how I walk before You? Is that a prayer that would give us confidence or fear? God, remember how I lived in truth and with a loyal heart. Can we pray that prayer to God? Do we live in truth and with a loyal heart? And He says, how I've done what is good in Your sight. Do we want God to look at the good we're doing in His sight? Is our principal aim and our goal in this life to please the Lord? Is that how we live? To please the Lord? Is that what we live for? God hears your prayers. God sees your tears. Prayer is never wasted. The fifth thing is that we need to settle in our hearts before God. Who God is, what God can do, and what He's willing to do. Settle that in your heart. Settle that now. Settle that this morning. Don't leave. Don't leave it for the week. Don't do it next month. Because the truth is, when disaster strikes, it's too late to settle your heart. It's too late to settle your heart when disaster strikes. Do it now. God is the great I Am. God is healer. God is provider. God is deliverer, savior, king, Alpha, Omega. Jesus is the name above every other name. There's nothing too hard or impossible for Him. Settle in your heart now who God is and what He's able to do. We don't want to wait until disaster strikes to settle this truth in our heart. If this truth isn't settled in our heart and disaster strikes, we run and hide. We get bitter and angry and grumpy and grudges and fearful. We weep bitterly without prayer. Settle in your heart now. Do we turn to God in prayer as a last resort? Do we turn to God in prayer hoping that something might happen? I'm going to give it a try. Do we turn to God in prayer after we've done everything else we know possible? I've done everything I know to do. I've asked everyone I know what to do. I've got everyone's opinion. And nothing's happened, so I'm going to try prayer. Or do we turn to God in prayer as our only hope and salvation? Do we turn to God in prayer as our healer when we need healing, as our provider when we need provision, as our deliverer when we need freedom, as our Savior and our King? Do we come to God in prayer as if all of His promises are yes and amen in Christ? Do we come to God in prayer knowing that He's able to do more, to do abundantly beyond what we can ask Him, what we could think up, what we can imagine? Is prayer our first priority and our first step? Now, I'm not saying we don't use wisdom. Use wisdom. You have wisdom for a reason. Use it. Use the resources that are around us and in our families and the professionals. Use the help and the support that's available. Absolutely. But I'm asking, do we seek first the kingdom like He told us to? Seek first. Jesus told us, talking about prayer, to be persistent. Be persistent. He said, to those who knock, the door will be opened. To those who ask, it will be given. To those who seek, they will find. And the way that's written, it actually says, keep on knocking. To those who keep on knocking. To those who keep on seeking. To those who keep on asking. It's not a one-time thing. Keep on. Ask. Seek. Knock. Keep on. Settle in your heart who God is. Settle in your heart what He is able to do. Settle in your heart what He's willing to do. Do it now and be persistent. I want to close this morning with a little excerpt out of a book by Mark Batterson. Circle Maker. If you haven't read it, I would highly recommend that book. It's a great book. I'm going to read out of, they have a little praying circles around your children. They're great books. But I want to read out of this. It speaks of a legend of this guy named Honi from the Jewish Talmud. And it's a really interesting story on prayer and the persistence of prayer. This is how it reads. It says, it had not rained in Israel for one entire year. No clouds in the sky, no water in the well. Gardens did not grow, rivers ran dry, dust filled the air. The people were thirsty and scared. They pleaded with one voice, "Oh God, give us rain." When God didn't answer right away, some feared He had forgotten them. Then they remembered something. They remembered someone, the rainmaker. Hardly anyone had seen His face, but nearly everyone had heard His voice. People would travel for days just to hear Honi praying inside his hut on the outskirts of Jerusalem. His aged body was weak, but his childlike faith was strong. His prayers were so powerful they made people weep. Like Elijah, who ended a 3-year drought with one prayer, Honi was famous for praying for rain. He had the same faith, the same spirit. The people knew that Honi was their hope, was their last hope, their only hope. So they knocked, and the rainmaker answered. The people complained, "We can't hear God, and God can't hear us." The rainmaker replied, "Even if you can't hear God, God can always hear you." Then he boldly declared, "The same God who made thunder will make it clap. The same God who made the clouds will make them rain." The parade of people led Honi into the city. As the crowd grew larger, children climbed onto the shoulders of their fathers. Others stood on tiptoe to see what Honi would say. What would Honi do? That's when it happened. Honi bowed his head and extended his staff to the ground. "What is he doing?" the people wondered. Then Honi began to turn. He turned all the way around until he stood inside the complete circle he had drawn. Then, with the hope of the entire nation on his shoulders, Honi dropped to his knees. A holy hush came over the crowd so that everyone heard his humble prayer. "Sovereign Lord, I swear before your great name that I will not leave this circle until you have mercy upon your children. The words hung in the air. Is he serious? He won't leave until it rains. Skeptics smirked, but not for long. No one knows whether they felt it or saw it first, but a single raindrop fell from heaven. Then thousands of thirsty souls turned their heads heavenward and caught raindrops in their wide open mouths. Laughter filled the air, but Honi was still kneeling, still praying. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned into such a downpour that the crowd fled to higher ground to escape the flash floods. Not Honi. He battled the storm on his knees. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. Then, like a sun shower on a hot summer day, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Children danced in the downpour like it was the first rainfall they had ever seen. And for some of them, it was. It was the day thunderclaps applauded God. It was the day puddle jumping became an act of praise. It was the day the true legend of the Circle Maker was born. Honi the Circle Maker had taught them the power of prayer. One prayer can change anything. One prayer can change everything. And from that day forth, whenever the people needed a miracle, they would draw a circle and pray like Honi. They circled the sick. They circled the sad. They circled the young. They circled the old. They circled their biggest dreams. They circled their greatest fears. And most importantly, they circled the promises of God. Sometimes they had to pray for a long, long time. But they never again doubted the fact that God always hears and God always answers when it is in His will for His glory. Everyone who witnessed the miracle that day learned a lesson they would never forget. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. So as we close this morning, I want to leave you with the words of Jesus. In Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20, the Message translation says this for us. It says, take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. When two of you get together on anything on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. What are we praying? Are we praying? What are we making circles around? What bold prayers are we praying? What are we asking, thinking, and imagining? Prayer matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are able to do beyond, abundantly, more than we could ask, think, or imagine. We settle that in our hearts now, today, this morning. God, you are able. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing impossible for you. You are not a man that you should lie. All of your promises are yes and amen in Christ. So we stand on your word. We stand on your promises, God, and we face whatever situations we're facing, whatever in our life, God, that we're battling, we face it in prayer. Though we may weep bitterly, we ask, God, that you remember your promises. We thank you for your goodness that through Jesus, we have right relationship with you, Lord. Through Jesus, our sin is forgiven. Through Jesus, we're new creations. We declare that you move, Lord, that you move on our behalf. We ask for healing in our lives and our families. We ask for freedom and deliverance in our lives and our families. We ask for peace in our hearts to guard them in all our ways. We ask for provision, God, where we need provision. We We thank you for your blessing and your favor that surrounds us, Lord. And we declare you King. We declare you Lord. We declare your name, Jesus, the name above every other name. We pray all of this boldly and in faith in Jesus' name. Amen.